to go ahead and perform the testing. That's a recommendation.
Yeah, so that.
That's probably excluded. The timeline sucks here. This thing was done in 2015. And we already knew that. Anyways, you know, Steve went ahead and did a big study in absence of all the information. It's okay. Rick came to the interview something that I helped three notches in the back room. And then he just works with one arm tied behind your back.
Right.
So I'm not sure if that's responsive or not. And so we've got a little bit of follow up to do on this one, which is who procured them, under what roster, and what happened, right?
Did, so Rhodes, would they have responsive records?
On searching testing?
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
I mean, I can almost guarantee that, no, they wouldn't. What they have are accident statistics.
Okay.
And a lot of them. And when I did send a summary of information and actually, I think it's updated. So hold on a sec. Actually, I do have a life. I was away. And,
that's right, right?
And I enjoyed it.
Yes. Now you don't have a life again. The only thing wrong with vacation is they end.
That's right.
It's here by my original draft. It's the beginnings of the CYA document. What I knew, when, and why.
Yeah. That's what you need to do.
And what I'm done about it in the near future. So I think we're through the third major report that makes sense to figure out if it's responsive or not. And then the last report that I think we need to talk about is the 2017 assignment to Golders that we just sort of determined, and we're sending you some information about, which was a very small document, right?
It was just an email, right?
It was an email, and that was the Golders study of 2017, this one, correct?
Right. I ran that off because you sent it to me, but I don't have it here.
Would you like a copy?
Sure. Actually,
okay.
We're going to
grab a copy.
Sorry about that.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
She did send it to me, and I ran it off, but it's sitting on my desk.
Okay. That's fine. Glasses coming through. This one's nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been on it now. What are we doing?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're asking if there's a friction issue.
To somebody who already knows.
They told us there was a friction issue.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. I'm glad I wasn't so off on all that time.
No, I'm...
Okay.
So, my...
Yeah. I don't understand that.
I'm not an engineer by trade. I think actually, to me, that's going to be an advantage in this cycle. I'm here to manage the business and direct the teams to develop all of the things that need to happen. And Gary was an engineer and spent a lot of time on asphalt.
Okay.
Had respectfully opinion that his knowledge of asphalt was superior to virtually anyone else's.
Okay.
And that what you said went. And if you, we need to talk about his role as, at some point. We also need to talk about his current employment status with the city, which is...
He's not contracted or something.
He's not contracted to the LRT.
Right.
So I don't know how that works in...
Yeah, that would be more in school and...
That's an interesting wrinkle. And way to go.
And she's aware.
Oh, yeah.
She's aware of this, and she's aware he's on contract.
Yeah.
Right now, I think the thinking is, we need him on site, because a lot of this information about who did what and why were certain decisions made, and maybe pulling it in his head, right? I don't know that he was taking copious notes and explaining everything, and, you know, that you can go and pull, oh, this is why this happened. So to the extent we need him for information, he's more likely to give it to us when we're on all good terms without us going and accusing him of anything. Even anything to accuse, don't say, right? Like, I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, if you position this in the logical sequence, it doesn't make a lot of sense, in my opinion, from what I've seen.
Yeah, so, and you and Dan spoke to him, right?
We did.
Same with him.
There was an officer and a gentleman who can't handle the truth.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, it was close.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
he's
a virtual guy. Will be, so we have that conversation. His basic position is there is no standard in Ontario. We've had this conversation, or we can, but we did this test. And he didn't tell me anything, there was no standard. And I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
That's clearly indicated here in a difference in the two facilities that are side by side.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So that's what I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next responsive report to this, and I'm trying to understand what I need to supply, would be this, the 2017 Golders proposal, right? So we did assign the work to Golders, right? We opened a purchase order. So there's a contract to perform this work. I have some, I don't know what we need to release here. Like, do we release the proposal? Because that's, is it part of the discussion around memos, reports, correspondence about friction testing? Because the first paragraph says, improving skid resistance if improvement is required.
Well, it talked about, you know, existing pavement service and pavement testing and assessment.
Oh, right, days. Yeah, and it's in the 2-year window,
and
too.
In the 2-year window. I'm thinking it's probably talked by that. Okay. And so you're, this is still work ongoing?
Well, that's a good question.
Done? Oh, okay, we don't know yet.
Yeah, so if you look, there are three things that we're supposed to get back from this report, right? Surface frictional properties using this British pendulum tester. So that's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, is that friction testing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the second thing is pavement texture analysis. Involvement, volumetric techniques, and then the last thing is some more core. Right? So this British pendulum tester is a mobile device that you put on the asphalt and has kind of like a shoe on it that will tell you if you put it on this surface, it would like have a certain friction rating put on a carpet or how much it, right? So it would catch and it would tell you
resistance
and things like that. So what we got back from an email, which I think, is that part of the response? standard? Yes, yes, those are the responses.
Yep.
Okay. So his response was, if you go to the second page, number four, he says they tried to run this pendulum test, but there was snow and negative temperatures and it was considered meaningless. So I guess this is correspondence around paper testing and friction. So.
Would you go do it again on another day?
Your common sense, my common sense, your common sense.
Okay, we tried once, it didn't work.
I want to the store.
That's your profit.
I went to the store, it was closed.
Yeah, exactly. Done. Sorry.
It's over, it's done with. We're not going back. It makes, yeah.
That didn't make a lot of sense.
Okay.
I did read that, but then I thought, okay, then I'll go back again and do it.
So I guess we need to find out if this assignment's still open then, right? Mm-hmm. Which I'm thinking it is.
So let's figure out where that assignment sits from a purchase order perspective. So then the other thing was he did this thing of pavement texture measurement, which is his second or third bullet in his email. Okay? In the email that responded.
Okay.
So this measured texture depth. They use a specific amount of glass beads at a certain size, and then they put it on the asphalt and they spread it out. And if let's say it was this surface,
mm-hmm.
the glass beads would spread out all over the desk because okay. there's nothing to catch them.
Okay.
And if you put it on the carpet, you would have, and you wanted to spread them out, you would get them a smaller radius. A smaller diameter, which would tell you that there's deeper surface depths.
Okay.
So by putting a certain amount and then measuring the radius, you can get a depth.
Okay.
So what he said was, they did this test, measured texture depth is 1.25 mil in a regular or better average one, a good macro texture is around one. So, surprised me because the SMA mix is supposed to be what they call gap graded. So it's supposed to have larger stones with more voids between it.
Okay.
And the voids are supposed to take some of the water into them and reduce spray and reduce tire noise.
Okay.
So putting this macro surface texture on top of what the gap graded mix is supposed to have bigger stone and less what they call fines in it,
mm-hmm.
right? Less sand and other filler. Doesn't surprise me that it's got a slightly deeper surface texture
okay.
than what else you would see.
Okay.
So that's not a surprise and probably meets the characteristics of what a gap graded mix or stone mastic asphalt should be doing.
Okay.
Do you get that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the asphalt structure is supposed to have like larger stone flooded onto other stone.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why they picked that SMA mix is because the aggregate is supposed to be really just basically fall on itself and not, so that's why it won't rot as much. So you've got more stone
mm-hmm.
When you roll it out, still got some gaps in it, but it's interwoven with each other in more of a honeycomb style.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be filled all together internally with fines and sands and other stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's why, and it's not a surprise.
Okay.
So it's a reasonable response and a reasonable result. And
a good result.
And a reasonable and a good result. Yeah.
The average stuff. Okay.
So the other thing he did was the core stuff, which is his item two in his email.
Okay.
And his element C in his proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And in element C in his proposal, the last paragraph on his page one of his proposal. Mm-hmm. Says he's going to bring the course to WIFI, and then they're going to extract the aggregates. So they take the whole cake mix, they take the whole circle of asphalt out, and then they bring it back to their facility, and they break out the actual stone. The stone that is making up the asphalt. And from there, they send it to Ireland. And then that's the response we got from Ireland.
Okay.
This is the James Fisher testing.
Mm-hmm.
Done in Ireland, which appears to tell us that our mean stone value is a 45. Which this guy is saying in his email response to us, the average or medium for trap rock aggregates, which is his second bullet in his email response.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The folder assignment proposal asks for, on the second page, second paragraph, to be presented to the form of the draft report. I promise you, the draft report may be submitted and finalized. So we seem to have gotten a response from him up to that, that phase.
Minus the report,
right? You haven't seen a report.
Mm-hmm.
All I have is
finding.
All I have is the preliminary. I have some documents around the findings, but I don't have a report. And he also tells me that he considered those other tests to be meaningless. And I guess my question to him is, what were the results?
So the hard copy of the results were presented at the meeting with the city representative in March 2018 in his email. Is that in the beginning? That was with Gary, right?
I don't know who was in that meeting.
Okay.
I can't see his calendar anymore. I can't even see it to go back.
So I have a call into this guy. It was today, the 3rd. He's supposed to be back today.
Are you talking about Littimer?
Littimer, yeah.
So it says there is a report?
No, it says there is to be a report.
Oh, a hard copy of the results.
Not a report.
Okay.
It's a report, though. It was presented at a meeting. Yeah, but I'm with you. I mean, to the extent that this speaks about reports, and I don't think trying one day, the night of December 6th and 7th, 2017, really satisfies the point one, so the description of property is almost perfect. Well, so then we're not paying you for that. But
well, he says, if you look at his scope of work on his proposal,
yeah,
on the first page, below the 3rd bullet,
mm-hmm,
it says, the friction testing and section measurement will be carried out during one night.
Mm-hmm.
The return quality.
That must be the night.
Well, the night, but it has to be the night when it's effective testing.
And yeah.
That's silly.
You're picking night. That's the only night.
That's the only night you get.
It was close.
Yes.
It was wrong.
Exactly.
I went to pick up the milk. It was close.
Oh, my goodness.
No milk. ever again.
4 eggs.
Yeah.
Four, that's it. For sure. So it's an interesting response, mm-hmm, that A, the results are meaningless, and B, we're done.
Yeah, unless Gary told him. Okay. And
paid him out.
Is this a conversation that you need to have with Gary?
I am.
Or do you want to talk to Littimer first?
I think where we are now is, so I'm following up on where's the report with the consultant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking Diana to follow up with what happened with this purchase order.
Mm-hmm.
Did we close it? And okay, if so, what happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that gets us through the 4 reports. I think, based on what my understanding is, this report, email, proposal in its entirety are responsive.
Sorry, say that again.
This email, proposal, and
so you're just talking about the forest one?
I'm talking about this Golders, everything we have with respect to Golders, the date on this November 2017 assignment is responsive. That's my view.
That's my end.
Okay.
Pavement testing reports, memos, including draft reports on it, but asphalt and or pavement testing assessments. I don't know what plans, I guess that would be more of what the city plans to do once it's got the results from their testing. And it's all within the 2 years.
Okay, so that gets us through, I think what I had, that's my item three, which is what material limited scope of the request. So we've been working on that.
Mm-hmm.
Any elements redacted, removed, or not shared, I think we have a pretty good understanding of that.
Mm-hmm.
Of what you would like.
Where we're at.
What we're recommending.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's providing direction on the reply? So this is a larger element that I'm trying to find an understanding. Is everything coming through my office? I understand that Nicole's involved, I understand Mike Garrett's aware, I know that Dan's aware.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're at the technical level,
mm-hmm.
but there's probably a communication strategy, which kind of led to my next point, getting into town council
mm-hmm.
about this,
mm-hmm.
which is all informed from the top. Like, we have to figure out what's going on at the door,
mm-hmm.
and then
do we need to do a confidential report?
Yeah.
What's going on the door? When?
Yeah.
And then what I'm trying to sort out is, what did we say to the newspaper over time? So I'm making an assumption here that this FOI is coming from the Spectator.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it might be a law firm. I think Ron and John were, and John McLennan is thinking, well, I guess there's some ongoing litigation right now.
Yeah.
He's thinking.
Well, the two girls, they keep bringing up the two girls that were killed, right?
Yeah.
The mothers are still after that, so I'm wondering if it's, if it has to do with that.
I think the moment it goes out, we can assume it's going to land with Spectator.
At some point thereafter.
At some point they're going to find it either through...
Highly likely.
Through...
it's definitely going to be... It's going to be out.
A filing phase in a litigation or discovery process or directly. Any or all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll be looking at this thing going up. So my questions are, what are we doing? What have we got? I think we're fairly... good understanding of what's going on right now. We've got a bunch of other testing underway with Golders. So we're through the first part of what happened with first year testing over the 5 years. That's the trade wind, Golders, SEMA.
Yep.
Those are the three reports. The next part about the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
we've also done a bunch of material testing for this full concept of hot in place. We have another stream going on. It's fairly innocuous with respect to anything to do with person testing.
Okay, but it falls within.
It falls within that. And we will get all that stuff ready, and that's my spec. And Susan.
Okay.
So the strange off ramp that happened here is that we've known about this person issue for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Our consultant recommended whether this goes out or not to microservice system.
Mm-hmm.
Basically put a tackle on it and up the version.
Mm-hmm.
SEMA went out and said, you guys should do version testing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we hadn't had the Red Hill program for resurfacing it through any of that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when we program work, it's out like in a 10-year window.
Yeah.
So we would say Smith Street from A to B, we've got it in our 10-year capital plan, and it looks like it's gonna be $400,000. We didn't have the Red Hill in our 10-year capital.
Right.
2017, we dumped $15 million into the Red Hill, unbeknownst to anybody, in 2018's capital.
So that's what Ron was asking, he said, is there not some kind of report? Because that's a pretty big chunk of change to go to the council and get approval, is it not? Like, how does somebody just get $15 million without a report to come to your council?
Where was that?
An action item is in 2017, somebody injected resurfacing capital for the RHDP handling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an action for me. I have to go back through Rick and Al and find out how that happened. Because normally, if we're going to program work, so we go through different cycles, but at the end of the day, we need some time to react to it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just turn our minds to, hey, here's $15 million, let's go pay this thing. There's a lot of planning and everything else that has to take place.
Right.
So normally, we need a couple of years run into it.
Right.
In a larger project, generally, the larger the dollars, the longer the time. Normally.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an odd. That was an odd.
That is odd. Yeah. Okay.
That's an odd maneuver. If you're trying to pull the whole internal path together,
mm-hmm.
It's not a. So we knew in 2014 from Golder's report that the Red Hill was subject to higher than normal volumes, had some cracking issues based on the construction technique of that asset. It had a slightly different base construction, a very deep, what they call the ridge bottom layer of asphalt, which was supposed to protect it from cracking from the top all the way down. So the base layer that was called the rich volume layer was just full of asphalt cement. It was more of a more plasticky kind of material.
Mm-hmm.
A little more flexibility in it. And then there's a next layer called binder, which is kind of a rougher coarse asphalt, and on top of that the rise.
Okay.
So it was a three-layer cake as opposed to conventional asphalt, which is just generally base binder widened surface.
Okay.
So we put this ridge bottom layer in it. So what they did was they analyzed down into the top surface and said, your top surface is cracking, but your bottom surfaces are still fine.
Okay.
So get on your riding surface before you start getting top-down cracking into your other layers, which means you're going to have to do full road excavation, and it's going to be a lot more expensive.
Right.
But we knew that in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't program any works until 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some gap in there, some three-year gap, and I don't know why that happens. Seems like an odd to me, but so that's so here's your different material makeups for, and this is a conventional road. So this is what you call hot coarse asphalt, your 40 or 50 mils around 2 inches.
Mm-hmm.
This is 120, so around 4 inches. What they call binder, then granular, which is a granular A, which is a nicer material, granular, then granular B, which is kind of a coarser material. So 450 is like 150 mils and 6 inches, so a foot and a half, and then half a foot, so there's 2 feet, and then there's another 6 inches on top of it.
Okay.
That's your real construction. Lesser base, lesser subgrade, about the same amount of granular A, 80 mils of this rich bottom layer, which is this kind of plasticky, thicker asphalt mix, 120 of binder, and then the 40 mil riding course. They got into the riding course and said, the wearing course and said, you're getting some cracking, but nothing's happening down here. So get at this.
Right.
So that was 2014.
So which report is that, though?
This is just me pulling, that was Golder's. Golder's 2014 report said.
Draft report
saying you've got some child, you've got some issues, and you need to deal with it. And one of the things we recommend is that routing and sealing, and then in order to address your friction issue,
right,
put that microsurface on.
Right.
So that was 2014. In 2015, SEMA went out and did their study, apparently with no knowledge of a friction test.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
in 2015.
Right. And then in 2017, we retained Kohler again to say, hey, is there fish issues?
Yeah.
And the original story was closed, so we're done.
Yeah.
So at least we're laughing about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that gets us to what are we giving to who and why. Then in a 2-year window, so now that's gotten us to this concept of hot in place.
Mm. Yes, when did this though start? That conversation has been around for a couple of years.
It's a bizarre conversation given the knowledge of the performance of these different materials.
Right.
It's like you've got a really crappy car and you know it's not running well, but you're going to take it to the paint shop and get the paint redone,
mm-hmm.
but you're still going to have this crappy car.
Mm-hmm.
So like we're basically reusing, but the hot in place, the theory of hot in place is the wearing course of the asphalt, it oxidizes, you get much stuff happening to it, it starts breaking apart, you pull it through a milling process where you grind it out in layers or whatever you want with heat. Throw it into a mixing bin,
mm-hmm.
you put what they call a beneficiating mix, which is kind of new asphalt cement, which is really, it's an oil-based product, and a little bit of new granular, but not much, very little, and you relay it.
Okay.
So you're basically just picking up the material and reusing it. It's perfect for environmental perspective. It's great savings
mm-hmm.
For cities, but it assumes that the material you've got down is sufficient to put back down.
Right. Yep.
So, we know we have a major friction issue with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we, in any way, shape, or form, consider picking it up and reusing it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's an SMA, which is a small mastic asphalt, and we want to turn it into a super cave,
mm-hmm.
which is a whole different mix category. It's a whole different process.
Oh,
it's
like mm-hmm. making. I haven't seen this super cave. Is that a term for it, or
that? Yes. So super cave is the newer mm-hmm. method of making asphalt.
Okay.
So the old method of making asphalt was a thing called a Marshall mix, which was basically a cake mix.
Okay.
Take 2 cups of flour, 1 egg, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Super cave is, I want a chocolate cake and it needs to taste good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how you get there, and it's performance based.
Mm-hmm.
So, you move away from very tight specifications on what the mix has to be to the performance base. The problem with that was super paves, the contractors then said, oh fine, you're not going to measure my
mm-hmm.
my most expensive material, so I'm only going to put in half an egg.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm going to do this, and it's going to taste okay, and then you're going to get this cake that dries out on you, and you do not know what you like, because I make your specs.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved it over to super cave that goes through what we call our Form 800, which specifies a lot of stuff. This okay. basically brings you back to closer to a prescribed mix, but you still have some flexibility in your applications of it to provide different types of material again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So super pave, we're going to end up with this thing called the super pave 12.5, so it's 12.5 millimeters, which is half an inch. FC2, which is friction course, so it's a high friction course
mm-hmm.
specification. So the whole hot and place discussion was, how do we take this muffin and make it into a chocolate cake?
Mm-hmm.
And the two of them don't really work. Amount of material that we had to put back into the SMA to move it into what we consider to be a high enough friction characteristic for us
mm-hmm.
meant we had to add 50% UMA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So hot in place guy isn't an asphalt producer. So if you're around here, there's like 3 or 4 asphalt producers. Colcones, Associated, Stefferin, Lafarge, they all have their own plant.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you come in with this idea that if you're just going to grind up the material, put some new asphalt cement in it, and lay it back down. So you're undermining the asphalt business. So the Cocoa, Associated, those other guys are not happy that you're
mm-hmm.
better.
Mm-hmm.
Then for us to issue a contract to say, okay, let the hot and place guy go, but get him to buy 50% new material from one of these asphalt suppliers that you're currently undermining.
Right.
And then it would have been a disaster. Mm-hmm. The asphalt suppliers may have declined to supply, mm-hmm. or may have supplied him complete garbage, mm-hmm. and made us test like crazy. So we quickly determined that with the amount of what we call the beneficiary mix, this made no sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The next step I took when I determined that we had this friction issue was I said, you know, we're not reusing that material.
Mm-hmm.
So that material, so we're the city's continuing to pursue and review hot in place. It makes a lot of sense. We will use it on some church road or Upper James or some other project, and if we can take our asphalt dollar and extend it by 30% by using hot in place in specific areas, it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
The technology doesn't exist in Ontario in any significant form. Ministry of Transportation is just testing it now up in Northern Ontario, having some challenges deploying it. So we're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole diversion to hot in place, to me, is bizarre. Because
mm-hmm.
we knew the material wasn't sufficient,
mm-hmm.
but we wanted to repurpose it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get it. I truly don't. And those are the questions that I think somebody's going to have to ask Gary
mm-hmm.
about why did we go down this path.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Mike's reports will tell us, Mike Beck.
Oh, okay.
So he's going to respond to all of the stuff about the asphalt testing and everything else like that, which is the second phase of this report, this okay. request the last 2 years. And I'm going to have taken big panels out of that road and tested that
mm-hmm.
to see whether or not we could do anything. But we did not, in any way, shape, or form, over the last 2 years, ask the consultant to do anything about testing the friction of the existing surface when we did a sample. So we took the sample out of the Red Hill
mm-hmm.
and sent them out for this determination of whether or not we could use them for hot in place.
Yeah.
We did not ask them to do a British pendulum test, another brick test, or anything else like that on the existing material.
No.
We didn't say, come and check the smoothness of this stuff before you run it through your system to see whether or not you can get it to where we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we already knew that we had to change the mix from an SMA to a super pave,
mm-hmm.
and that's what the whole process was about. We did not ask the consultant to test the friction of the material that was coming off the road.
Right. With the hot in place.
With the hot
in place.
That whole hot in place process.
But that's where we knew.
Well, I didn't know at the time that we were going through some of these things at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I knew in September.
September 2018.
2018,
mm-hmm.
that there was a friction test out there that was negative.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I was trying to understand what Mike and Susan were doing with this whole hot place thing. Susan's not going to be here. I went to Susan shortly after with the test and said, I don't know what we're doing here, but we're stopping any concept that we're reusing this stomastic asphalt
mm-hmm.
back in the Red Hill. And her view was, after she read the test, she agreed. I said, we need to continue on with the hot in place investigation. It's a great parallel stream for us on other asphalt that we've laid down,
mm-hmm.
and it can potentially extend our program and our funding across, you know, more lane kilometers, so that's a good news story for the city if we can get there, but not on the test.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't put that in writing anywhere, but at the same time, we stopped the concept that we were ever going to use a hot place on the Red Hill.
So that's in September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just kind of cold comfort at this time, but.
Yeah. But you're coming up with good information and you're making a decision, so.
So now you know way more about asphalt than you even wanted.
Yeah.
When you see cracking and road failure and stuff, I mean, please don't call us. Because it's everywhere.
Okay.
So that gets us through all of the testing, and we have to follow up with Mike. you have any questions of us? I'm trying not to.
No, no, that's okay. So Mike, though, is working on this?
Mike Vass,
I haven't seen any documents from his department then?
Nope.
Okay, so he knows that he needs to be working on this?
Correct.
Get it to us as soon as possible?
Okay. Yeah, and it's coming through, shockingly enough, Golder Associates in Ludemere.
Oh.
Hopefully he found a good day.
Yeah.
Let's just keep our fingers crossed on the weather, right?
Yeah.
So Gary and the principal at Golder's were parallel and did a lot of work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a consistent theme there.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
That gets us through the records.
So Ludemere on our roster is Scope, so he did a lot of Scope in Category 1.
Okay.
So he did a lot of different work. I'm not sure what Scope means in the roster, though, Gord.
So if we retain, if we go up for a roster for civil engineering or land surveying or something, so let me pick a large firm, WSP or whoever,
mm-hmm.
for full roster.
Okay.
But we get another localized or specialized application for our roster that we say, hey, this guy's really good at hydrogeological, or he's a CPS or electrical or asphalt structures or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we put them on for scope that says, we may or may not have to assign you work, but if you assign your work, it would probably be in this category.
Okay.
So we hire a large general law firm, but then we go to a specialized local firm for access agreements that they have, direct knowledge of the series, or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and then we pull for scope.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works.
So he's, but he works, he's vendor Golder?
He is a principal.
And he does have an email there.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so this is providing direction on this reply. So what typically happens, unless it's strictly legal documents, in which case then I send off the email with the reasons why it should or should not be disclosed to Ann or Debbie. And since this is not strictly, like, these are not legal documents,
no.
right?
Exactly.
Like, yeah. So what I've done in the past is work with the client department, and then you and I finalize between ourselves, you know, which documents we think should be redacted, or, you know, what part, why. I can draft the reasons. And then it does typically come through you, if you're okay with that. If there's something that comes up and it's better through me, I'll help, you know, we can figure that out. But right now, let's just kind of go with it.
Okay, so let's identify my office as the lead, supported from legal on
mm-hmm.
what happens, and I want everything, quite frankly, everything checked and double checked before it goes out,
mm-hmm.
Because I'm presently wanting to release anything we should.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to not release stuff that we should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my goal here is to be 100% transparent and compliant
mm-hmm.
with this thing, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Going forward.
Okay. So that's you and I. Now, we have no control over the Office of Privacy Officers, right? So you and I can paper and put down the reason why we don't think, or just by the way.
Do they get full access to all this information?
They do, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when do we supply them that?
So, well, as soon as possible, because then she needs to go through everything, and there's quite a bit. If we said that, sending everything. There's quite a bit for her to go through, and then Anne needs to make a decision based on our kind of comments and our submissions as to what needs to not be released or what shouldn't be released. But she needs to answer that call. So, you know, once it's in their hands, keep a legal hand.
No, I get it. So we're not asking you to influence her.
Yeah,
no,
with it, yeah.
They're having me through the cycle.
Yeah, letting you know that once, because even they override us once, right?
Well, so they're prerogative, and yeah. they're like the auditor. They'll make a decision. I mean, they're bound by legislation and regulations. We can't ask them to not comply with them. Mm-hmm. So that's our.
Yeah, our so I just want you to, we'll do our, what we can, so it's whatever doesn't get released. But at the end of the day, it's going to be their call. Again, but that helps you and I because, hey, they made the call. I mean, it's not. If they felt it had to be released, it had to be released. It's not you and I voluntarily sending it out or not, right?
So do we send a list of documents and the documents and the sections that we feel should be included and what should be removed and all redacted?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we need to provide them with a full, like, this is document one. We feel paragraph 8, 12, and 22 can go, the rest of it can't. Then or document 2, we feel X, Y, and Z can go, the rest of it can't. So we need to drop that up, I think, and get it ready. So we would start with that Tradewind thing and say, this thing is responsive with the exception of page 13, which is the concluding recommendations, which subject to X on PIPA falls under this category.
Right. So, I mean, your office can do that or my office can do that. So what I have done in the past is they're entitled to the unredacted documents, yep. So we send them that. If it's a very technical or very sensitive document and I don't want any kind of miscommunication, because if I'm just saying, oh, paragraph 2 on, you know, page 7, please don't, you know. So I end up doing a second copy and I either black it, like, you know, redact with a black marker, so there's absolutely no question what we're asking not be released. Or other times, you know, colored marker. Yellow doesn't work so good sometimes because if someone photocopies it, it doesn't show. It doesn't show. So you use orange or green or some other, you know, document. That way, because if I do black, it's hard for them to read, right? And they got to keep going back to the original. So, but if it's green or orange or blue, they can still read through it. And yet, it's marked so that if it ever gets photocopied, it's still kind of.
You can actually do that in
Acrobat,
Adobe.
Okay.
Highlight it.
Okay.
Because that's right. Because that's the black.
You have the documents in Acrobat.
Oh, okay.
That's
what
you feel special.
Right?
So, yeah.
I just highlighted that.
So, I leave it to you whether.
Okay, so we're going to have a series of edits coming out of this thing.
Uh-huh.
It's going to speak to the documents. Uh-huh. And I'll go over it with Diana and know which ones you think were good or not.
Uh-huh.
I will send you those minutes
uh-huh.
when you can review what we think is. Makes sense mm-hmm. to release or not, and then we'll have to sit down with Ian and or Debbie and,
mm-hmm.
and potentially maybe have a meeting with them and bring them the documents.
Mm-hmm.
That may be.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah.
Might be an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to occupy all of your time either. I'm assuming you have other files.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. City of Hamilton and legal. No other files. Not about you, Gord.
I get the feeling this one could consume a few cycles. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just and so I'm assisting with the FOI thing. When you were talking about, is there a need to inform council? So just so you know, Nicole and Ron are. And John and Mike are all, well, sort of, I know we're all on that too, and they've met with Dan, and so I would be looking to Ron and Nicole. Now, Ron's away this week, but Nicole's around, and she's aware. So they're first waiting to hear from me on what it looks like is going to end up needing to be released, knowing that there's this process, that we still have some time because we need to finalize it, we need to get it to Anne. Anne's going to need some time to go through it, right, and get her decision out. So when is the actual letter going out? I think myself, it's probably unlikely to be before Christmas.
I think it's mid-January.
That's what I'm thinking, right? She's going to need some time with it. Yeah, it's probably mid-January. So that leads into your point number 6, who needs to know and when do you have the opportunity to let them know?
6 and 7. So
okay.
Mm-hmm. So there's a series of outstanding business.
Mm-hmm.
January 14th has like 3 Red Hill Valley reports going that are OBL items.
Oh, okay. Sorry, January 17th?
14th.
And so why don't we follow up with the agenda for the 14th? Here's my concern, okay? We're going to have a collision of us coming back. So, I mean, let me just...
So we're doing the FOI at the same time all these OBL items are going about safety.
Oh.
On the Red Hill.
And how do you stay quiet? This is where we're going with that. How do you stay quiet?
Well,
this FOI thing.
Well, that's my...
Putting a little notice about all these...
Here's my... So here's here. There's a collision of a series of things coming into council about the Red Hill. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've had nothing but conversations with them about the Red Hill over time. I have a draft report done shockingly by FEMA.
Okay.
On the Red Hill on illumination.
Right.
So we keep getting asked. There's a high level of accidents on the Red Hill, right? And look at those reports or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, would it be beneficial to light the Red Hill? Is there a relationship between accidents in the dark and accident propensity?
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is no. Okay. And the answer is you have a high propensity for accidents in the wet, darker light.
Mm-hmm.
There's no significant difference between the accident occurrences in daytime versus nighttime. That said, there's enough accidents to warrant lighting. So lighting is warranted, but it's not the driver, because FEMA knows that the major issue on the Red Hill is wet weather performance.
Right.
Which comes back to the other blackout after we have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Gary's response has always been there's been an environmental assessment done in the original Red Hill that barred lighting 100% because of the influence on the natural environment.
Mm-hmm.
We retained FEMA, we went through every document out there. There is no exclusion to lighting on those facilities, but there's no way we can retrofit this thing without going through a Schedule C EA, which is a significant event, because we'll spend more than $2.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So the lighting estimate to go on the Red Hill links, which are all warranted based on the accident volumes and compared to everything, these are around $12 to $20 million. That's just the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't include the protection. So I can't just put a pole, because then people coming off the road are going to hit a pole wall unprotected. So I need to put a guide rail, and if I start putting a guide rail or walls, and start talking about what I'm doing with my storm drains, because I'm now influencing the drainage patterns of the road. So I really, quite frankly, in order to light it, need to do a functional assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to write a report that says, you asked us about lighting, but really what that means is if we go center lighting on this thing,
okay,
I'm going to be putting a series of poles down the middle. There's no way we can leave a series of poles unprotected.
Right.
So that means a center median.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get a center median, if this drain in the middle into a swale, how am I handling the storm drainage?
Mm-hmm.
Am I changing the storm drainage? Am I doing something different? And while I'm doing all of that, I mean, you're looking at, I don't know what I mean with cost, I mean, probably upwards of $30, $40 million by the time we're done from end to end, and then including electrical and the poles and everything else like that. So are we just lighting it for today? Are we just lighting two lanes, or do you want us to look at expanding it to three? Do you want to look at something else?
Mm-hmm.
So just by asking, can I change the taps in the bathroom, all of a sudden you end up with a whole new bathroom,
mm-hmm,
because those taps don't match with, you know, your counters and everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole discussion, framed with our safety issues, framed with the accident statistics, it's all coming together close in time to this. And I can't bring them a report.
Mm-hmm.
See, I originally had, when I requested the two OBL items be mashed,
I had requested it for February 22nd. There was a bit of a miscommunication and traffic ops had done their report for January 14th.
Well, we may need to move everything, because like the message is going to change radically.
Mm-hmm.
What may be coming. So this, I mean, this, I think I've sent you this, but this is the link collision
mm-hmm.
in dry, 81%. And this is the Red Hill collisions in dry, 33%.
Mm-hmm.
So the wet weather performance on the link, there's 14% of the accidents take place there, and 65% on the Red Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's and that's one of the things the traffic's broken out too, is there's a lot of single motor vehicle accidents in the wet on the Red Hill that aren't in the dark.
So when you're thinking, when you're saying the timing might have to change, are you thinking moving everything up to January 14th or moving everything
out
to February?
Yeah.
Well, here's my fear
mm-hmm.
that we have like complete mixed messaging going forward here, or we feel like we're just uncoordinated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's my view, and it may be subject to a lot of insight from part of it. Probably they're going to release a story around our friction testing that is inconsistent with our previous tests.
Mm-hmm.
We have been telling the public that there is no conclusive testing when frequently factor less.
Mm-hmm.
You can call it conclusive, you can call it informative, whatever you want, whatever you want to select. It's going to be painted like we knew it was the solution.
Mm-hmm.
The story I want to tell is we're new here, we have a different process, we understand that these reports exist. Our number one project in 2019 is in servicing this facility. It's a full new mix, and we're also working with frozen off to review any and all safety elements out there, including are the guardrails up to current standard, what can we do while the road is down to bring it up to the highest possible safety standard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the discussion I want to bring forward.
Mm-hmm.
We understand, we're aware of it now, we're aware of it in mid to late September. I put a couple million extra dollars into that account to try and make sure that we can accommodate any safety elements that are required on the Red Hill that we can bring through during a rehabilitation, it's not a reconstruction.
Right, okay.
So while we're rehabbing it, if we need to change out some guide rail or put different end treatments or do whatever required for a crash and other elements on it, we're getting that assessed now, we'll have a formal response shortly.
That's ongoing right now?
Ongoing right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the message I would like to bring forward is, yes, we're aware of it. No, it's not a great response, but here's what we're doing right now.
Right.
And then all the other stuff about the OBL and the lighting and the functional study, once this thing sort of, once we get it out
mm-hmm.
and we have a plan of action, then we can come back with, okay, so we're going to talk to you about the lighting, we're going to talk to you about the functional study, we're going to talk to you about the current safety status
mm-hmm.
on it, framed by that conversation. That's my first feel on it. I'm mm-hmm. not sure how Dan or Mike or Nicole or communications feels about it. And given the mid-January release, I'm hesitant to bring all this other stuff forward without informing council that this is coming.
Well, and yeah, my personal take on it is, because you don't want to get criticized that you were sitting, like they're getting caught off guard, right? And well, this lighting is nothing compared to this, and you were sitting, you came to us with lighting and all these other things to make it safer, but that's on the basis that it's already safe. Like these are extras.
We're talking about the paint colors, we're not talking about the structure.
Yeah.
Right? So what are we doing here? Why are you bringing me?
Optics.
Why are you bringing me the paint chips? We have a problem with the plumbing and the injury.
Exactly.
So that's my view. Because I think this is...
I don't know how you go with all the superficial stuff and then come back.
With the...
Yeah, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later. Oh, and by the way. Just, you know.
Well, and you don't want council or committee reading this in the paper without them getting a heads up first, right? You don't want to blindside them.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, no. No.
You blindside them and they'll kill us.
So I do know, like, Noel and Ron and Mike, I mean, they're all sensitive to all of that. So they're going to be playing this with the band.
Making a strategic decision about where to go.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, your involvement, unlikely to have my involvement, but I
was committee with us.
Yeah, right. I got yelled at last time I was there, and so it wasn't even me, it wasn't even my report. I just happened to be the one standing there. I'm like, they pushed it down and says, you guys are like, it's not me, I have nothing to do with this. So now I've been there, done that, and I'll sit in the back.
Break up, right?
Yeah, I'll break up. Just a minute if you need me, Nicole, to call me.
So yeah, I mean, kind of laughing because it's been HSR, Environmental Services, and then Waterfront. So you're going to get a t-shirt with a target on it?
Oh, yeah.
Pass it on the target.
Yeah. Here you go, she.
So it went from Debbie to Craig.
Yeah, just come with me.
And it's like, yeah. Not even a year in the job and the poor boy's got the target on his back.
Yeah. And the worst is, I guess maybe it's not the worst. You see it coming, right? So maybe that's a better thing that you see it coming because you at least have time to prepare the messaging. I mean, at the end of the day, you weren't privy to all of this, so it's just, you're going to be like me. It wasn't even my report, I just happened to be sitting, you know, standing right there up in front of them at the time they decided to go down this. I'm like, okay,
Can you speculate on that? This is where I know what's in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I know we're going, and I'm hesitant to undertake to friction test the material to put down or anything else like that, so I want to be cautious about sending the message to council about what happens once we get through this next cycle. We need to have open conversations about what's going on, and you know, to be quite honest with you, it's been a difficult thing for me to get through and understand the messaging that we've been giving to the public, well, the documentation that we have internally. So we've got to get that kind of wound up. Someone needs to have more conversations with Gary. I don't know right now if that's a discussion that I need to be having with him. I need to be focused on what we're doing to fix these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be really honest with you. I think I know enough now, but I don't want to know anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a point where I'm comfortable with the knowledge I have, mm-hmm. that I'm making the decisions I'm making on the right information, and that there appears to be some stuff in the background that still maybe either unknown or nebulous or did take place and really work through doing what we need to do. But I don't think I'm going to fall short of values or anything else like that, because our opinion is that all that stuff's coming up with something.
Right. You're not changing your opinion.
Not changing my opinion or my discussion going forward.
Right.
And I don't want to get dragged into the history of this file for the rest of my life. My career here can't be framed around the Red Hill. We have a scarred wall that are falling, and we've got Lake Ontario creeping up on other parts of our city. So we need to do some other work.
I know that the escarpment is Lake Ontario.
Yeah, it's chewing up large chunks of our waterfront
due
to climate and storm issues, right?
Right.
So we need to find a way to fix some of that.
The erosion.
Yeah. A lot of erosion, a lot of wind and wave action.
Oh, okay.
I think tart's going to be on you for quite a while.
Yeah.
Just money.
Yeah, just money.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. Infrastructure investment.
Yeah.
Is it hardened and like sustaining the assets that we own?
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. So, I mean, it should be a good news story that we've turned the corner on this thing. We've eliminated a lot of the conversation around reusing that material.
Well, and that is helpful because that, I mean, you would be criticized if you jumped right to the $15 million or whatever it's going to cost. Well, what the heck is that? Are there anything in between that we can, right? Now we know.
We do know.
We did.
We did a lot of detailed work.
Look at that.
And Hamilton is advanced in its asphalt, and a lot of it's due to Gary. He is well known in the industry for those reasons, and we do have a strong mix and quality control process and things like that. That said, there's a friction issue with that facility that we haven't dealt with, and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. How quickly could it have been dealt with? So let's say
microservices.
Within 2 years?
No, probably a year.
January 2014, they knew.
Yeah. You could have gone to council and said, we have an issue here, and we need to put some emergency funding on it to address this thing. And I apologize, but I don't know how that happened.
Okay. So that could have happened relatively quickly.
That's what is microservicing. It is like a protective coat. It's a emulsion upon the crushed stone for traction. So it's... like a slurry seal, it's like a driveway sealer, you can put it on in 8 to 10 hours, but it's a tack coat with a different granular and a high pressure characteristic in it, and then just basically pour it on the, so
that would have bought us time.
The golden recommendation, yeah, absolutely, the golden recommendation is seal the crack, right? Mm-hmm. Put the packing around your window.
Was that done? Were any cracks seen?
I don't know. It's an operations issue.
Oh, okay.
So that's one of the challenges we have. We need to go back. It's art. That's not really relevant to the friction study.
No, I'm just getting at, you decided to do some of what they said. You
know, I don't know if we did that or not. We should follow up and see.
And if it's all draft, why did you do anything?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So if they didn't do anything, then at least it's consistent.
Yeah, but we didn't act on any of it.
Yes, we didn't act on any of it. And we decided
even to buy levies.
Well,
so are you saying we didn't react on anything in the original Golder report?
That's what I'm wondering. But the microservicing anyway, that would have been a temporary fix, but maybe, such that in a couple of years we would have had to rip it all up and redo what we're doing, proposing to do now anyway?
Correct. The argument is throw away money, but it would increase the... the personal characteristics of that asset.
And then I'm just again from the litigation side, how many, and I passed around this, I said, well, it depends on how many accidents then had from January 2014 to current, right? Maybe there were none. No? Okay. I didn't see anything showing, well, there's 474 accidents, which is a lot, but I didn't see anything breaking down. And I might have missed it. The years, like when.
Traps and all that stuff.
Yeah.
2013 to 2017, I've got those statistics, and that would be something that's for traffic.
No, I'm saying.
That's kind of supporting material and behind it. Mm-hmm. I know that data's out there. It's not really responsive to friction.
No, it's just in terms of messaging, it's like zero, and it doesn't matter, right?
No, there's a lot.
So are you talking wet and dry, or just wet?
Well, you'd be just worried about wet, right?
Yeah,
because it's just that's when the performance problem. And granted, I'm also aware that there's other reasons, speeding, impairment. I mean, there's other reasons for these accidents. It's not
distraction.
Distraction. It's not strictly wet, but the spectator's not going to see it that way, nor the fan is, right?
Yeah, look at that.
In 2012 to 15, there was 209 accidents at the top of the hill, 197, 89, 70. So if you went 2014 to 2018.
What's the significance of the blue and the red dots?
The red dots are deaths. Mm-hmm. It's 2 deaths, 3 deaths, 1 death, 1, 1, 2, 1. So there's more fatal collisions on the Red Hill, and there's a significantly higher volume of collisions on the Red Hill. And that's 2012 to 15 stats, and nothing's fundamentally changed.
What are they comparing that to? Are they saying...
That's just pure numbers. That's what's happened. So the 209 is the largest blob.
because it represents, so that's 21, it was 10% the size of 209, so 21 accidents happened between a perturbed enough age in that 3-year window.
Sorry, so the straight, is that, that's the Lincoln?
The Lincoln.
This is the link, and then in turn...
This is the Red Hill.
Right, right, okay. And then 209 is where it...
Seems to be where the curve is.
209, 197 is this sort of chicane down at the bottom, 3 deaths in this area, 2 deaths there, 1 death there, 1 death there. 1, 2, 1. So 4 across there, 1, 5, 7 that way.
So this information being released, if it gets released, depending on what the FOI is, and it goes public,
all
are we up for litigation from the families that have had deaths?
Well, yeah.
Almost pretty sure.
So what happened, I mean, some of them may have already sued, right? So 2012, you only have 2 years to sue, so you have to sue relatively short. So,
Will there, because this information was known and not released, will they be able to open up?
Well, that's the issue. Yeah, so some of those earlier ones would have settled. And this is not anything that you guys need to fret about, right? I mean, this just is what it is. And John and Ron already know, right? So John McLennan, that's why we brought him in, and he's a part of this discussion too. So certainly any earlier litigation got settled. Depending on what, now if this came out, remember there was this one comment that, oh, Ron thinks maybe one of these reports came out in the course of litigation, we weren't sure, okay. So it may be that the Traven or the Golder report was known to Risk and Ron, because as part of litigation it kind of came out, because you have to produce everything that's relevant, right, all relevant documents. They knew of this, but it was a draft report. So I'm thinking it might have been the Golder report that they were aware of. So if there was a settlement and the city, maybe because it was draft, maybe they didn't produce it to the other side, who knows? There's all these unknowns. But if you come to any kind of settlement and it's based on certain information, you find out fundamentally
that there was additional information,
we're misrepresenting ourselves, and any settlement would be based on his fair representation of what we have.
Right? So they
would certainly hard. In almost any appeals court judge, I think, would allow.
Well, did you really have a settlement? Right.
Well, they would allow a reopening of it with fresh evidence.
Yeah, well, with the settlement, it's a little different, but any ongoing litigation,
yeah.
And if you went to trial, then you can reappeal on those, right?
These people have lost family members and will come to our council and try and make a representation or something like that, and it will be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It will be difficult and challenging to refuse or deal with these people.
Yeah.
So that's down the line, and I'm trying not to turn my head to it too much, but there's been some real human impact to the performance of this asset.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do all the studies and technical stuff we want, but people have had some personal and family challenges because of it. So hundreds of accidents a year and some fatals.
Mm-hmm.
Not all subject to service conditions.
Right. And we have to that.
Some due to ineffective driving, some due to just bad driving, some due to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we have facility that had a crazy one.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be difficult to not entangle with that.
So there could be new claims, people who never sued because it was just a minor injury. Right?
Now I know that the city could potentially be here.
Yes, and so they're within the 2-year window, they could easily just drop a suit where they weren't going to sue before. But that is what it is. People sue all the time.
Yeah,
so that's what Risk is there for, and that's what. And there's a couple, I think there's 3 bigger files that are ongoing right now. So if this comes out in the course of it, it can be dealt with in the course of that litigation. So that's good, good thing in the sense that those 3 bigger ones are still
ongoing.
Okay. So, yeah. And families, that's tough. That's very emotional. But you're making the best decisions you can right now, and the city has to encounter what it did or didn't do before.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll get these minutes out shortly. I'll go over them with Diana.
Yeah.
The whole concept about the OBL and everything else like that, I mean, I need to sit down with Dan and Edward and talk about this. I would like to sit with, Nicole and Dan, potentially yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe sometime next week,
mm-hmm.
About what's the plan here, right? I mean, if we arrive at, let's put some timelines on this stuff. So if we arrive at, between ourselves, what we think is responsive,
yeah,
and what our message is to the FY guys,
mm-hmm.
by the end of the week, we should be able to put all that together.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to have the documents ready, right? They already are ready.
Well, I don't have my exact documents, but the documents I do have. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then that will fundamentally release friction testing,
yeah.
and will undermine a lot of the stuff we've had to say over the last number of years, which is just sort of a knock on the chest, but that is what it is. Then we need a strategy around what's our approach to council, and if I'm going to report to them, which, you know, the lagging report is not a really compelling story.
Is there any other OBLs that
could be? There's an OBL on
broad, like is it more generic or
broad? There's an OBL on accident stats and speeding and some other stuff like that.
They've combined two of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So people have a tendency to speed. Like we know that the average traveling speed on the lake and off-peak times is like 120 kilometers an hour. I mean, it's close to 90.
Mm-hmm.
Some crazy numbers up there, but are they influencing accidents? And that's where all of those variables start coming together. And you start saying, like, well, people seem to be traveling at a very high rate of speed. It's only closer to 90. It was designed at 90. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so what's going on, right?
On that note, just for my own edification, the testing for the friction was done at 50. Does that
make the friction testing request?
Does that make a difference when it was at 4 at 50 kilometers when you know people are actually traveling 90 kilometers?
No.
No.
It's just based on the friction tester. It also sprays a film of water in front of the tire.
Okay.
And in order to get this, so what they're trying to do is determine what the where the wheel will lock up. Right?
Oh, okay. I was just curious, because if it's that 450, so, does it mean it could be 4 at 90?
Right. So standard test conditions at 50 kilometers an hour, 0.25 millimeters of applied water film, in a tire pressure depth of 20 psi. Tire pressure is at 20 psi, so it's a low tire pressure, lower speed, with a little bit of water on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they grab the tire until such time as it locks up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they determine what that means. So on the Red Hill, it locks up a lot quicker than it does on the lake.
Right.
So this is a standard test that they say if you're in the UK and you want to run a level 2 is a 48, so they were getting somewhere between 52 and 60 or a higher level than the investigatory number, that's fine. The Red Hill ran in the 30 to 40s. In some sections it ran above, but within the 35 to 40, 36 range. So what they're telling you is that it doesn't meet the basic number, and it certainly doesn't meet what the links perform.
Okay.
So.
But the speed means, we need to have
an answer. To obtain an expert on that or something, we don't own a grip tester. We rarely, if ever, do that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't know if we've done it anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fairly unique for us. Golders, close it. Keep closing everything. Okay, so there's that PO. We can chase down all the invoices on it and see what happens. It was only $8,000. Just for the friction testing. Good deal. Holders may not be that happy about it. Get stuck into this sideways. Okay, so I think we're good. Diana?
We're good.
Okay, so you'll see that. I'll be the one then going through the document with the highlights. That's what we're proposing, right?
Sure.
Unless you guys want to do it, but I can do it. So based on the documents I have right now,
yeah.
Which
we'll send
I have
you,
everything you have, right?
Yeah, we'll send you the minutes.
Yes.
Probably later sometime today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
Yeah. And then, Mike is really only dealing with the second part of it anyway.
Yeah.
And,
maybe I had that phone number.
When that comes.
Okay. Great. What your filing system?
Well, I'm not sure if it's enough against some of it. I didn't want to have an extra one now. I didn't mix it all up in case I'm using something separate. And my accordion file folder doesn't fit nicely in my briefcase.
There you go.
Yeah, I thought this looks better anyway. Okay, I'll touch base with Nicole when I go back.
Is interested in this?
Yeah, she was also going to fill me in. I guess I'm going to meet with Dan last week.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I guess I will to her as well that, once we finish the FOI part, we then are interested in finding out strategy and communication and all of that.
Yeah.
As soon as possible. So. And, okay, with Anne then, sorry, is Diana going to, or Zoom going to email Anne Watson and just ask about the time? Of the
FOI? Yeah, I think we were going to
do between that. The two of us, yeah.
Yeah.
That was scary.
But we can only act.
Okay.
As fast as we can, right?
Yeah.
So, after our decision letter has to go out.
Yeah.
So.
Before you go, I just wanted to ask you another couple quick questions.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to just give me a second?
Yep.